How quickly did they spread through the continent? We don't know. Some people believe that the spread took only a few thousand years, maybe less. Others believe it was a slower process. But the numbers, at the beginning, were very small. We know something about these people, thanks to the archaeological sites dating to after 13,200. And these are the sites of the famous Clovis tradition, named after a site in Clovis, New Mexico, where the distinctive stone projectile points of these people were first found. Small projectile points with a longitudinal fluting flake, which thins the base of the point so it can be easily mounted in a shaft or foreshaft. These were people who had spears and spear throwers, who were extremely adept hunters. And it is quite clear, although the evidence is still lacking, that these people had an ancestry among the long-established Stone Age game-hunting traditions of the far north. Indeed, in the earlier days of the study of the first settlement, everyone thought of the Clovis people as big game hunters, with a capital B and a capital G, that this was the stereotype, that big game hunters thundered into America and decimated the game, spreading rapidly through the continent. Today, we have a much more diverse view of the Clovis people, that undoubtedly they were capable of adapting to very different environmental conditions. Many of them relied heavily on plant foods and probably got much of their diet from edible vegetation of all sorts of kinds. Their numbers, however, were small. They were highly mobile. Their territories were probably large, but we do know that they focused very closely on fine-grained tool-making stone used to make their projectile points. In other words, they were people who were beginning to exchange goods between one another. They're best documented from the Great Plains, where there were a series of kill sites of their points found in association with the bones of mammoth and bison. And it's quite clear that they were, to a considerable degree, when the opportunity arose, and remember, like all hunters, they were opportunistic, that they were going for the large animal. Why? It yields a lot of meat. Probably many of them they drove into swamps, rendered them helpless, and then killed them. We don't know. But about 13,000 years ago, these large animals, the famous megafauna, as they're often called, became extinct suddenly. This is a great debate. Was it humans that caused these animals to become extinct and hunted them out of existence, particularly the slow-breeding animal like a mammoth or the mastodon? Or were these animals, which had flourished through the Ice Age, the victims of warmer temperatures and increasingly arid conditions in North America and South America? We don't know, but most people believe that humans probably played some role in the extinction of these large animals. Another thing is certain. By about 12,900 years ago, when the Clovis tradition abruptly disappears, humans were living in every part of North America, exposed by the ice sheets, from the fringes of the tundra by the ice sheets, right into Central America with its tropical rainforests, and throughout South America. There were people living down by the Strait of Magellan by 9,000 years ago, that this settlement occurred rapidly. And once humans got into America, they stayed there, diversified and flourished, as we'll find out later in this course. In this lecture, we've looked at some of the vigorous controversies surrounding the first settlement of the Americas. We've built a scenario and concluded that the first settlement occurred soon after the end of the Ice Age, perhaps as early as 15,000 years ago. We described the routes for first settlement and the probable manner in which it occurred. And we concluded that the first Americans were highly versatile mobile hunter-gatherers who settled North America, then moved southward with considerable speed, preying on large animals which became extinct about 13,000 years ago. And in the next lecture, we'll describe what happened next.